Shana Tova Tikatevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. As we welcome you to the Shofar Ministries program, this is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who will be sharing in a moment. But first, bow our heads and join me in our opening prayer. Abba, Father, as we enter into yet another year on your calendar, we give you the highest of praise and honor. You are the King of Kings and Lord over all. Continue to watch over us in these last days and guide all our actions by your Holy Spirit. We pray for the victims of Hurricane Matthew. May they come closer to know you, and may the lost seek you through their afflictions. We ask that you never stop pulling the heartstrings of our unsaved loved ones. Oh, Father God, we just ask you for a special healing touch on Melanie and any other ailing listeners tonight, particularly these requests recently given to us. We pray for this ministry's finances, and may your face shine bright upon your bride as we push through our own personal flaws. Bless tonight's study, and may you alone be glorified. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. And let me add the Hebrew expression, tzom kala, which means have an easy fast, because tonight at sundown began Yom Kippur, till sundown tomorrow, when most Jews all over the world are afflicting their souls, as Leviticus 23:27 says. And that means a total fast for 24 hours. It's also the last day of Teshuvah.
That's their yearly season of repentance.
All right. And there are some who really appreciate the Hebrew roots of Christianity, who join in the fast as well, not because it is required, for it is not, but because some just want to. It shouldn't be a petitioning fast, but solely to thank him for all he has done for us.
So we should probably never say, Happy Yom Kippur.
Right, because Yom Kippur is meant to be a reflective and somber holy day.
Well, actually, it's the most holiest day of the year.
You're right, and so says the Bible. And according to Jewish thought, it's a judgment day to either be included or blotted out of the Book of Life. And that was our topic last week and is archived on our webpage.
You wanted to comment on Joel 2 last week, but ran out of time. So let me read that, and you can comment.
Okay, great. And that's Joel 2. And if you can read verses, well, just do one verse at a time, verse 15.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sanctify a feast, call a solemn assembly.
And you know, there's only one one feast that God calls for a complete fast, and that's Yom Kippur. And as well, it is the only solemn feast. So clearly, Joel's setting the stage for the next verse, which is why contextual reading is so important.
Yes, it is. Verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babies. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, our hadar, and the bride come from her huppah.
That's right. And comparing this to Isaiah 26 that we covered a few programs ago, it confirms that we, the bride and the groom, are in the hadar, or the wedding chamber, until the indignation is over, which will be on a Yom Kippur. And according to Revelation 19, Jesus returns to earth along with his bride. Now, we're even called his wife in verse 7. When the great trump sounds, the great trump is an idiom for Yom Kippur and described as well in Matthew 24:31. It's all in the book, saints. And even verse 17, which you're about to read, confirms again it is a Yom Kippur.
Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar.
Right, and this was the common practice on the most solemn day of the year, only on the Day of Atonement, called Yom Kippur, to weep between the porch and the altar, which is in the outer temple area. Why do they do that? To atone for not being as close to God as they should.
So, what do we have here?
Well, we have the second coming of Jesus returning with his bride at the end of the tribulation, and it's very plain it will be on a Yom Kippur.
Yes. Okay, before we move on and talk about tabernacles, which is Jesus' real birthday, but first, anything in the news? Well, I mean, besides Hillary and Trump.
Yes, there is. Israel is still having to cope with continuing clashes from their enemies. Two more killings on Sunday. Something happened there this morning. There is a history of accelerated acts of violence during the fall feast. But actually, this whole year has been pretty constant, but it will be picking up probably even more before the Feast of Tabernacles is over. But the biggest news, as I started to report last week, is there is a lot of serious talk about another world war on the horizon. Russia has given Obama a few heightened ultimatums, of which Obama has not complied. One is that Putin is demanding NATO vacate Eastern Europe, or they will be attacked. By the way, we do have increased military in Iraq, and it's not only to fight ISIS, who they say are mostly gone, except in Mosul, but rather we are installing tactical nuclear weapons with modified missile shields.
Well, as you know, that's one of the reasons we went in there in the first place, to have a dominant presence in the Middle East.
Yes. But as Trump even said at the debate, Obama has made it well known that he will push out whatever terrorists are left in Mosul beginning on the 19th. And Mosul is in the northern part of Iraq, right near the Syrian border. Anyway, China and North Korea are on high alert to join Russia and Iran when needed, which is why South Korea and the United States troops have stepped up its military drills, as has Russia, by utilizing a massive underground bunker and tunnel system. We have been saying for quite some time that Obama will instigate something to stay in office. And the UN peacekeepers are here in America right now, especially in San Diego.
You know, this would keep Obama in office, and, you know, war can go on for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Or at least until the Antichrist arrives and stops it all. And the unrighteous earth dwellers will just love him. Anyhow, act wisely and have a few months of food supplies and plenty of water just in case our electric grid goes down, because war could actually begin in space, as both sides will try to take down the eyes and ears of the other's command and control satellites.
And this talk can all be threats, or what Matthew 24 calls rumors of wars.
Yes, and God said not to worry, even though perilous times would come.
Gosh, you got any good news?
I do. Archaeologists keep finding added proof of Jewish occupancy in Israel by finding still another city gate dating back to King Hezekiah. Again, authenticates scripture.
I know, they hate to do that, but, you know, they are always authenticating the Bible.
They are.
Keep digging. All right, then, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message 2440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are much needed right now and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. Okay, Friday, October 21st is DVD night at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio. This month is called The Unholy Sea. Starts promptly at 7 o'clock, so come a few minutes before and bring some popcorn.
No, there's plenty of popcorn.
Is there popcorn there?
Yes.
Okay.
What else? That's all we need is more popcorn.
All right.
But anyway, this DVD is well-researched and factual. It's a documentary of the days of Noah, but it's absolutely amazing, an eye-opener into what is being brought to light today. And we do not recommend young children, please.
And we need to remind our listeners of our short sabbatical coming up.
Yes. So the next 2 weeks will be important replays. It's actually parts one and two about Rome and Daniel's prophecy in chapter nine. And then we will be off the air for just 2 months till January 10th, still a Tuesday at 8 p.m. And I will be sending out news updates per email and a newsletter next month. If you do not own a computer, be sure you are on our regular postal mail list to receive your paper copy. Again, either call the office and leave a detailed message, or if you'd like, you can send any donation to help with our mini expenses, and we'll add you to the list.
Either through our webpage or to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And, of course, we will be at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland on the first Friday of every month. Okay, so we're going to talk about the seventh appointment of God called the Feast of Tabernacles, one of my favorites.
Right. It is the season of joy. We have covered the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, which is Adam's birthday and the creation of the world, and Yom Kippur and the Days of Awe in between. The Feast of Tabernacles is also called the Season of Joy, which is Jesus' real birthday.
Which, by the way, we can know this even if you just think about it.
Right. For Scripture conveys that John the Baptist was born at Passover, and he was 6 months older than Jesus. So, 6 months from Passover's Feast of Tabernacles. Exactly.
How do we know that Jesus... That John the Baptist was born at Passover.
Oh, okay, John the Baptist, yes. Because Luke 1 says that when Zechariah, his father, while in the temple, was told he would have a son, Luke also made sure in verse 5 that we knew Zechariah was of the rotating course of Abijah for the temple, which according to 2 Chronicles 24, served in the 8th week of the religious calendar.
And that is around the time of Pentecost.
Yes. How coincidental that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb.
Whoa. How do we know that Elizabeth immediately conceived?
Well, because of Luke 1:24. In English it says, after those days, but in Greek it says, metatauta, meaning immediately.
I tell you, it goes to show how everything in God's Word is there for a reason. There's no coincidence.
No. And that shows that we must study to show thyself approved, because important facts are often missed by casual reading.
Yes.
Let me add, too, that by the 4th century, Emperor Constantine wanted to bring the pagans into Christianity, so he compromised and mixed their pagan holidays with the churches who, except for the true believers, by this time were accepting paganism anyhow, as noted in the Church of Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2, and it just morphed into tradition still to this day.
Yep. December 25th is actually called the Festival of Saturnalia.
That's right. The deity.
The deity of Saturn. Did I get it right that time?
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Yes, and like tabernacles, it actually lasts for 7 days, probably where we get the song, The 7 Days of Christmas. Is it the 7 days of Christmas? Or 8 days? 7.
12.
Okay, I really got that wrong.
Yeah, you did.
Anyway, tabernacles does add an extra day of Sabbath rest, so it really is 8 days, and that's very significant.
Oh, yes, because Jesus' number is 8, which means eternity, as the number is never ending.
That's right. And on the 8th day, Jesus was circumcised, a picture of his new blood covenant.
But we must remember, spiritually, every day is Christmas in our heart.
Indeed, because now he's been born inside all who have heartfully accepted his gift of salvation. But we should also recognize the day and tell as many as will listen that Tabernacles is the real time of the birth of Jesus, born in a booth or a sukkah, which is the Hebrew word, and it's made with branches and leaves, so to see the stars through the roof at night, as God commanded in Leviticus 23, and to live in the sukkah to memorialize how God took care of them in the wilderness for 40 years. God did say in Genesis 1:14 that the sun, the moon, the stars were also signs. So maybe the wise men, who were not astrologers from the Orient, but rather very wise Jewish sages from the east of Jerusalem. You know, Babylon is east of Jerusalem, where some Hebrews still remained from the captivity. And we know this because Peter greets them in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. So, perhaps since lying down in a booth looking upward is just maybe how they saw the star in the east, recorded in Matthew 2, and since God had prophesied this particular star centuries before in Numbers 24:17, they were always looking. And remember, Jesus will come from the east when he returns in Revelation 19. Luke states Jesus was placed in a manger, and the Greek word for that is botane, and it's a feeding trough. So obviously it could at other times of the year also be a place where animals could stay, especially if built to be a more permanent structure, as we read in Genesis 33:17. I'll read it. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, built himself a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. John 1:14 also gives us a huge clue when he said that the Word became flesh to tabernacle amongst us. Another hint that he was born in this happy season of joy, which the angel also stated, giving us still another clue. And it is a little known fact that shepherds don't have their flock out at night in December. And let's not forget the swaddling cloths that he was wrapped in, recorded for our knowledge in Luke 2:7, because another custom is that every year on the first day of Tabernacles, always on Tishri 15, the priests would bring their white linen undergarments and exchange them for new ones. Then the worn linens would be tightly wrapped to be used for the wicks in the 75-foot-tall candles that were lit every sundown during the week-long feast. And for that reason, it's also called the Feast of Lights. So, this white linen would be in abundance, but only during this time. And they were called swaddling cloths because they swathed the priests under their outer garments. It was probably during the lighting of these humongous candles in John chapter 8 that Jesus said to the Pharisees that he was the light of the world, a very opportune time, which he was very good at picking. Actually, it was already set up from long ago, and that I can tell you. So, next Sunday at sundown is the real Christmas Eve 2016 and begins the Feast of Tabernacles. So when you connect all the little puzzle pieces, it really is pretty easy to see the bigger picture and to realize just how precise God's plan is. It's a real faith builder. Remember, spiritually now, we have all the feasts fulfilled in our hearts. Because of Yeshua, we have the kingdom of God dwelling inside of us, Hebrews chapter 4. Our bodies are just a temporary dwelling place, just like the booths were a temporary place for them to dwell for 7 days. A tabernacle for Christ, and soon we will behold him and stay with him forever. Amen to that. And this feast, has a double fulfillment in that when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation, he will set up his kingdom on earth and will tabernacle physically with us again, this time as our king. This feast will actually usher in the millennial kingdom with that glorious season of joy and will continue to be celebrated yearly as referenced in Zechariah 14. Other names for tabernacles is the season of rejoicing and the season of dedication, because King Solomon's temple was dedicated during the Feast of Tabernacles, 1 Kings chapter 3. Another is the Feast of Ingathering, in that all the harvests would be gathered in as a type of this righteous, of his righteous, and like the parable of the division in Matthew 13 of the wheat and the tares, which is actually a prototype of the separation of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. And many ceremonies were done during these feast days, all having symbolic meanings, like the house of the water pouring or the waving of the lulav. And, of course, these details are on our webpage. But let me add one more important facet to all this. We know by Luke 1:36 that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary visited her and told her that she too would have a child. This would have been during the time of Hanukkah. And lo and behold, 9 months later is Tabernacles. In fact, the normal gestation time is 280 days. So when you count back from Tishri 15, again the first day of Tabernacles, it brings you right to the eighth day of Hanukkah. And remember, number 8, that's his number. So that means he was incarnated into Mary on the lesser Feast of Lights and born on the greater Feast of Lights. Hence, he is the light of the world. It's really not hard when you get serious and start connecting all the dots, and you have to just keep at it. So why don't more Christians know this? It boils down to choice. Many just don't want to learn their first century roots of their faith from the time when Jesus taught it. I recommend George Footmore's First Century Judaism, and I do not recommend any teachings written during or even after the Dark Ages, unless it's only teaching the first century of what they believed. And of course, there is a lot on our webpage and in all the archived newsletter teachings and archived radio programs. So have a feast with that. And without a doubt, our demonic enemy tells us it's just too hard to learn. You don't want to do that. Even solid Christians have admitted to me they don't want to because it's too deep. It's not. Remember that scripture in Hosea 4:6 where it says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge"? The word for perish is dama, and it doesn't mean destroyed. It actually means dumb or made silent. Because if you don't have the knowledge, you're going to be silent about it. You can't share what you're not willing to learn. Don't you see how it was so well planned out by God for it to be this way? Hebraic roots connects the dots, saints. He set the stage long ago by organizing detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people with definite customs using particular phrases that Jesus, who was also Jewish, would use to give us huge clues so to learn how it will be with us. So please enjoy your Hebraic roots, and remember, we'll be gone for a little while, but we'll be back on January 10th. Tell as many as you can to join us, and I'm going to leave you with the Haranic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be generous to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper in all areas of your life. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. And don't forget, Tzom Kal. Have a great fast if that's what you choose to do.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.